Hallelujah. God's still on the move. He's still on the throne, and he still has control, no matter what's going on. Now, we can either resist it or cooperate with it. Amen? Thank you, Master. Would you turn to Matthew 12, please? As we are completing the feasts, Passover, Unleavened, First Fruits, then comes Pentecost. God does a tremendous things during feasts that we don't even see and know. 30 years ago, on April 15th, around 2:15 p.m., I had a visitation from the Lord. I was a heathen 1 minute and sanctified the next. It took seconds. I was taken captive, abducted by the glory of God. An evil serpent came out of my body, and I began to see things that I've never seen before in my life. It was almost a Star Trek moment. In fact, that's what I said to the Lord. I said, man, this stuff only happens in Star Trek. He said, no, guy, that serpent came out of you. I said, ew. And he began to reveal to me things of the world and the powers of darkness. And after that, multiple visitations continuously, every night, every time I would go to sleep, taking places, all kinds of things were going on, fulfilling the word, saying I'd pour out my spirit upon all flesh and they'd have dreams and visions and prophesy and so forth. And for almost 2 to 3 months, it was very difficult for me to function in this realm. And when I wasn't from here, it was like walking in water was constantly resisting you. And everything was dirty. And that's when the Lord restored my marriage and restored everything. Again, I didn't ask for it. He did it. Because it was now not my will, but His will. Everything was about His will and His purpose, not mine. And as He began to fulfill things and unfold things, even my, you know, the Word says He does far above all you could ever ask or think. It was manifesting. He was making Himself so real that He wouldn't let me ever deny Him. I mean, I even have a horse come and talk to me and all kinds of crazy things. Heck, if a donkey can talk, a horse can talk, right? But in this, there was something, the most important thing, awakened. Awakened. For some of us didn't need that kind of awakening, but apparently I did. Saul, who became Paul, the same thing. I mean, he thought he was doing the will of God. He thought he was a good person. He had all the certificates of being a Pharisee. But he was sad, you see. Very sad. Because he didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. The scales were still on his eyes. He didn't know. Everything to him was works to please God. He thought his relationship was according to his obedience to works. And said obedience to His will. And so now we are in the time of the end. We are in an age where we call it the age of awakening. And God is awakening people. He's visiting people. Things are happening all over the world. He's not looking at people's religions or even their belief systems. He wants to rescue everyone. And so He turns a heart of someone so they can turn a heart of someone and so they can turn a heart. He does a domino effect. He used Moses. He used Abraham. He uses people. He uses you. But one of the first things He starts after we've been rescued is He begins to build a routine for us and establish a foundation so that we could warfare spiritually. He says, what you do behind closed doors, I will show you openly. See, so many people were wanting to do things openly to try to prove themselves, and you don't have to. You've been pre-approved. Amen? So there's the things that are behind closed doors that are vitally important of your warfare, your relationship. The walk is not outer, it's inner. It's knowing his voice. It's knowing his unctions. It's knowing his leading. And again, we are in the age of awakening because people have been doing, they may have been awakened to themselves, amen, and doing things by works. Even many believers who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are still trying to do things by works. They're trying to justify the relationship and how many people they try to witness to, how many people they clothe, how many people they feed. Even Jesus said, look, man, you're going to hell. He said, what do you mean? We're doing all this stuff. He says, because you practice lawlessness. You don't even know me. You have no relationship with me. You don't even consider me in everything that you do. See, when there truly is a relationship, there's a consideration always. It's like your best friend with you all the time. Hey, what do you think? That's what this is about, a relationship. And it's so easy to drift from that area. It's so easy to compromise and begin that drift. And the next thing you know, you're out in a boat by yourself. And it's sinking, and the motor ain't running. You out of gas. Ain't no one going to come and rescue you but above. And so, again, in this time of awakening, you and I must maintain this awakened alertness. Be ready. It's not whether God is, you know, so many people are waiting for something to happen in their life. We're waiting for God to do something. Everybody's waiting for God to do something. Even the devil. In fact, he's afraid God's going to do something. But in this, there's that place again where God teaches us a routine. He builds a foundation so we can maintain it. So we don't falter. So we don't get sucked into the emotional arena of this atmosphere. This realm. So we don't get caught up in the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. We avoid offenses. We stay out of arguments. But the devil loves to argue in your mind. And you're not going to beat him in that argument. You got to get rid of it. Hallelujah. So in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. But Jesus knew their what? Their thoughts. I love it. And said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. So what's the enemy trying to do? Bring division in you. Confusion. Doubt and fear. And every city or house divided against itself will not what? Stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore you shall be your judges. They shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, truly the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven them. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree bad and its fruits bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. In other words, he's talking about a person or a spirit. Brood of vipers, how can you be in evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be what? Condemned. Jesus is exposing Satan and his evil kingdom and demons, which are disembodied spirits, that are seeking human hosts. He's exposing this right to them. An army of evil that causes division within the soul of humanity. To attempt to control them by fear and oppression. But there was something important. He was revealing not only these powers of darkness that were hindering, but he's revealing weapons to bind and loose. But these weapons are granted to those who are led by the Holy Spirit and followers of Jesus Christ. He's exposing the attack of evil. And its purpose of evil is to try to reach the heart. The heart. The core of desire, of emotion, of will, even conscience. It is the core of our existence. Your heart. Amen? Jesus came to reach the heart of man to awaken them into a new reality of existence. In Genesis 6, when you are truly born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you live another reality. This reality basically hinders you. It's offensive to you. Not that we're offended. Because it doesn't promote the things of Christ. It doesn't promote the will of God. It argues with you all the time. Amen. It's constantly resisting you from doing the right thing. That's what the word says, that we are hard-pressed. Amen. We are hard-pressed in this realm. But so many people give into it and let the enemy infiltrate their hearts, contaminates them, and they don't realize it until they've compromised, drifted, separated, and been taken captive again, even while they're awake. It's like having surgery while you're awake, because it's tormenting. It's a terrible place to be. You know, think about this, and I have to reflect back to the Matrix. Think about Neo, right? Think about Neo. That was him, right? Neo. When he awakened in the Matrix and found himself in this thing, and all of these things were attached to him, thinking he was living this life of, you know, all of this stuff and eating all these steaks and all kinds of things and whatever, and all of a sudden, he awakens into this place where it's like, what the snap? And then he gets flushed. And he wakes up in this thing, and then they come and rescue him. But think about that. See, when you truly are awakened, you're awakened, and the reality is that everything's not real. What the heck? What's going on? Why have I mean, it's like, you know, and I really believe that when you give up your spirit to the Lord and you get home, everything here is going to feel like a one-night dream. For some, it'll be a nightmare. Oh, glory. But, you know, think about that. When you truly are born again, That's something that doesn't leave you. That's something that you don't want to forget. That you don't want to let go of. You want to know. You want to keep reminding yourself of the place that you're living in is hard pressed against you. The moment you stop thinking about that, and don't get me wrong, yeah, we get busy doing this, but again, that's always in front of us. Just like Jesus should always be in front of us. He's the one that's always reminding us. Remember, I'm the way, truth, and life. I'm your only way out of this place. Amen? You'll be tempted. You'll be tried. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to hate yourself sometimes. You're going to hate what you did. You're going to regret. Oh, you're going to regret a lot. You're going to be disappointed. But that's all of the world. He says, I've overcome all that. Amen? Now just follow me. Oh, hallelujah. He's like digging tunnels out of mountains, you know? And you just follow him through. And nothing can touch you. Only if you let it. But there's voices in those mountains, you know. Genesis 6, verse 5. He said, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts, now look at this, is power, of the thoughts of his mind. The thoughts of what? His heart. Was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The wickedness of man, the thoughts of his heart, the character of his spirit, and the core of all desire was evil continuously. See, even a deceptive thought is evil. See, even a compromised thought is evil. We don't realize the severity and the sensitivity of how God sees what's evil and how we see what's evil. Things for me and you always seem to be, they have to be really evil. Oh, that person lied. That's evil. But see, you can't tell the intents of an individual's heart until it's expressed. That's why the word says we'll know them by their fruits, by their desires, by their words, by their responses or reactions. Amen? Is everybody okay? Psalm 7. Age of awakening. We talked about transitions of ages, and we are in the age of awakening. This is an awakening age. The greatest time of transition for the body of Christ. This is the opportunity for the body of Christ Jesus to be so awakened and prepared for its removal. Because if there are many of them who are not, won't be removed. The final awakening to the world will be the rapture of the church. That's the final awakening to them. They're going to find out everybody disappeared. It's going to be, yo, they were right. I thought I was a good person. You were, but you weren't righteous. Hallelujah. Psalm 7, please. Hallelujah. Age of awakening, the time of awakening. It's happening right now. The greatest awakening. That's why they keep saying the awakening. People are being awakened. But people that have been awakened are still in deception. So there's that level of awakening. How awake are you? Look at, so many people are sleepwalking. They're sleepwalking. Oh, they may seem awake, but they're asleep. Psalm 7, verse 9. Hallelujah. Spiritual sleepwalking. Let's speak it. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds of their what? Thoughts. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. Ooh. God tests the hearts and the thoughts in hope to awaken individuals from deception and the traps of the enemy. That's why he tests the hearts and the thoughts and the minds. He's not to condemn us. He's to convict us. See, when you've been convicted, you've been tested. It's the purpose is to awaken. Amen? You know, sometimes people need to get slapped. They need the Holy Ghost slap, man. Wake up. Cold water on the face, kick in the butt, you know. Psalm 10. Have you ever were driving with someone and if you didn't say something, they would have gotten an accident? Amen. Why? Because they didn't see it. They were busy or thinking something else or whatever. That's how the enemy plays. Amen. Remember, the Bible tells us the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not just then. That's every moment. You give him an opportunity, he'll take advantage of it. Psalm 10, verse 1. Let's speak. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his desire, his heart's desires. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Hello, doesn't that sound like our government? It sounds like the world's government. It sounds like all the rulers of the earth right now. It's being exposed like never before. And verse 4. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of their thoughts, or they wouldn't be doing what they do. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In his secret places, he murders the innocent. That's called children. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you have observed trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand, O Lord. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. Again, this is how the prayer to assist those in the area to be awakened. Awakened. Amen? You know, we need to pray for more people to be awakened, Lord. There's many people that need healing and so forth, but they need to be awakened in multiple ways. The age of awakening comes first by prayer and supplication. It's called spiritual warfare. Nothing comes without prayer. Those before us were praying for us. Those before them were praying for them. And now we're praying for the next generation and those who are here. That's why, look at, so all of this multiplication, even though the enemy can take it out, individuals through abortion, taking out individuals and all kinds of diseases and whatever, and he just dismantled, you know, probably quite a bit of humans from the, and they're expecting millions to continue to die from the that have been given to them. Millions. It's possible that a third of mankind may die. That's a lot, and it's prophesied in the book of Revelation. But there's that ripple effect. People are dying in disasters and hurricanes and mudslides and floodings and all kinds of things. There's more people dying than ever. And the enemy is trying to prevent the prayers. Think about that. He's trying to prevent the prayers. It's the prayers of the righteous saints that avails much. Amen? In 1 Peter chapter 5. So the first thing he likes to do is compromise your prayer life. Oh, yeah. I'm too busy. Oh, Lord, I know you gave me this job, so I've got to really just stay at it. Hello? Forget my prayer life. That's not how you maintain. The moment you compromise, you begin to drift. It's just a matter of time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, please. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is very important, because so many people are trying to fix themselves. They're trying to fix their circumstances. They're trying to fix their families. They're trying to fix this. They're trying to fix that. You can't fix nothing. The more you try to fix it, the worse it gets. Why? Because you're sowing in the flesh, you'll reap corruption. This is where you're to cast, or every one of us is to cast our cares on the Lord and wait. Wait. Oh, the enemy comes and pushes. He wants to tell you that it's better over here, that you could do better, this, that. What does everybody understand? He's always trying to push you out of position or keep you bound in a position where God's trying to rescue you from. But waiting on the Lord, the Bible says that we get our strength renewed. When you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. Wait. It will come. Pray in the Spirit. Amen? Now again, don't wait to go across the street when the red light's green, you know. Get out of the stinking way. You don't have to wait for God to tell you certain things. But there are things, you know, that you need to wait on. And you'll know, confirmation will always come. Something always occurs that you know. He can speak to you in a dream or vision or whatever. Cast your cares, amen, upon the Lord. And he'll promote you. It says, be sober or be what? Alert, be vigilant, be consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lion roaring, a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what? Devour. Is that constant? Yes. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So when you believe the voice of the enemy that has told you, you're the only one going through this. You've been lied to. It only happens to me. No, it doesn't. It happens to us all. And we all think the same thing. It only happens to me. Hello? That's not true, though. Verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have been challenged a while, suffered, crushed, You will be perfected, established, strengthened, and it will settle you so you don't do the same stupid thing over again. Amen? So cast your, don't fix, wait. Get back to return. You know, many people find themselves awake back in the matrix. Yeah, bad place to be. After suffering, after your suffering, you'll awake into a new reality. Keep your house filled with the Spirit and with the Word. You know, many people lose their deliverance because they can't wait. The enemy comes with fear, anxiety, stress, and false desires. False desires. They begin to chase everything else but God. Well, I got bills to pay. Don't pay them. Wait. I don't have the money. Well, God, wait. Cast your cares on the Lord. Make a way. He'll make a way no matter what. But the enemy always likes to push, especially with money. Money's a big thing he likes to push on. Well, I just bought a car. It's like a house payment. Great. Oh, God bless me with this payment. Yeah, right. Bad decision. Turn the car back in. Count your losses. Go forward. Does everybody understand? There are times when you got to do whatever you got to do to cut loose. It doesn't matter. Because God will restore everything you do according to His counsel, according to your obedience. I've seen people turn their cars in because they came, they went, all the size of man, turn your car back in, trust God. They went and turned their car back in, even though there was money owed on it, and they erased the money. They took the car, that person got rescued. You know what happened? They went out and did the same thing again. Hallelujah. Anyways, many have backslidden, lost their deliverance because of it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Ministries are not built by money. Ministries are built by the anointing. I mean, don't get me wrong. Take some money to feed, clothe, and shelter and keep things going, but a ministry is not built by the money. And we're seeing a lot of ministries built by money. A ministry is built by the anointing of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections, desires. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part of has a believer with a unbeliever? And what agreement, this isn't the best part to me, and what agreement has the temple of God with idiots or idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. In other words, what are you agreeing with the voice of the stranger? It's amazing how many people, they get into a circumstance and they call someone else for guidance that's in the circumstance they're in. Okay. Yeah, I know you're in the circumstance. Maybe you can help me. No, they're in the circumstance. How stupid can we be and still breathe? Call someone that's overcome. Amen. Oh, praise God. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I'll be their God. and they'll be my people. If they'll do what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch unclean thoughts. You know, people are still looking physically. And don't get me wrong, there is a physical arena called accursed items. You know, don't touch them because it'll open the door to stuff. But it starts with the thought. It starts with the heart. Thought, heart, desire. Amen? Don't touch them. And if you stay away from them, don't touch them, you'll stay close to me, he says. I'll receive you. And I'll be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, don't touch unclean thoughts. It leads to compromise, drift, separation, and then breach of God's love. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It means you can't receive God's love. So the breach is not by him, it's by us. Because the enemy is infiltrated, causing your house to become divided. Now you're awake with no power. I'm going to say it again. Now you're awake with no power. Oh, bad place to be. Romans 12, verse 1. You know, when we were kids, we used to challenge one another. Bet you can't do this. Amen? Bet you can't do that. I've already challenged one another, y'all. Well, the devil challenges you in that way. Bet you can't do this. You know, he even tried to quote scripture to you. Bet you can't do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, yeah, then do this. Amen? The voice of the stranger can be so destructive. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is responsibility or reasonable service. Again, you're to submit your spirit, soul, and body, will, and desires to God every day. Do not be conformed to this world in the way of its thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your thoughts, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at every one of us gets goofy thoughts. Hello? I mean, it's just the way it is. Why? Because the waves are traveling constantly. We are hard-pressed. We're living in a false reality where it's constantly bombarding us. You're going to be having thoughts, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride. All of these things are going to be bombarding you, but it doesn't mean you have to agree with it. Amen? You don't have to agree with it. You have the power and authority in Christ to say no. Like they used to put them on bumpers. Just say no. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So, being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, and he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. I said cheerfulness, not grumbling and complaining. In other words, renewing is reminding, repeating, amen, repeating things of God. It brings refreshing and it repositions you and puts you back on your routine all the time. But when you stop that, you begin to compromise. See, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. If you're not standing, you're moving backwards. So we have to stand and then move forward. Stand and move forward all the time. In Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has what? Bewitched you, who has deceived you, who has tricked you, that you should not obey the truth. Whoa. Who's caused you to compromise? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ is clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This is only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Stupid, maybe. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh of your works? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with the believing of what? Abraham. They were bewitched. They were awakened, but were deceived. Amen? By unclean thoughts that promotes desires of the heart. Desires of the heart. Isaiah 52. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you find yourself with a bunch of lumps, and you become lumpy, know that only took one. Repent and try again. So you don't get grumpy. Isaiah 52, verse 1. Let's speak it. Awake! Awake! Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Thank you, Jesus. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. In other words, man, get up. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourselves for nothing. You shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down first into Egypt, which is associated with Babylon, to dwell there, then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name is blaspheming continually every day. Does that sound like today? Yeah. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. Ooh. Awake, shake off worldly dust. If you have backslidden, he's saying to them, you have backslidden and then sold yourself to destruction for nothing. You sold yourself to destruction for nothing. But I am the Lord. I will avenge you, he says. And you will glorify my name when I avenge you. See, United States has backslidden. It's been a backslidden state for big time for the last 50, 60 years. But it's backslidden. Basically for the last 70 years or more. Maybe the 100 years, I don't know. But it's been backslidden a long time. And people have been taken captive. They've sold themselves out to the ways of the world. To the Babylonian system. To live in a life of debt. It's okay. That's what the world is saying. It's okay. Living a life dependent on physicians and medical and medicines. don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it's bad. But people are dependent on them instead of dependent on God. You know? And the United States has been a backslidden state, but I believe this message is for the U.S. of America and its people. They sold themselves out to destruction for nothing. He says, I am the Lord who will avenge you, and you will glorify my name for your revenge. Colossians 3, verse 1. Speaking, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your thoughts, your minds on the things above, not on the things that are earth. In other words, renew your focus. Renew your what? Your focus. Look, at the end, we're going to be distracted. That's just the way it is. Distraction's going to come. But you got to refocus. Don't think that you're going to constantly be perfect here. You're not. And don't condemn someone when they make a mistake. Every one of us makes mistakes. Every one of us gets off course, but then in back in course. Amen? It's just the way it is. Welcome to the earth. It's a false reality. We're hard pressed, constantly being bombarded. But you have power and dominion over it to make the right choice when it comes. Even when you make the wrong choice, to come out quickly. Amen? For you have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ with God. When Christ, who is our life, everyone say, Christ is my life. Nothing else is my life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's if you maintain that he is your life. That means you are totally dependent on him, not yourself. When you become dependent on yourself, you drift. See, even if you got blessed with a gazillion dollars, you can't depend on that money to save you. Money doesn't rescue me, doesn't rescue you. But it can be used for good. Amen? But so many times people fall. That's why the word tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil, because they put money first before they do the kingdom. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members or your desires, which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But we don't no longer live in them. We're not in that anymore. We're not a part of that anymore. Amen? It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake, but you come out of it. But now you yourselves are to put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Refocus your call, your purpose, and your destiny. It was preordained by God. Maintaining the heart, the mind, and the will of Christ all the way to the end, no matter what. If one thing is permitted outside the will of God, it hinders our standing against the powers of Satan. I want to say that again. If one thing is permitted outside the will of God, it hinders our standing against the powers of Satan. Christ must be the reality of our life. Hebrews 12. Why? Because we're the one that allow those things to come in. Amen? going to say it again. If one thing is permitted outside the will of God, it hinders our standing against the powers of Satan. That's why you got to repent and try again. Christ must be the reality of our life. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:25. Age of Awakening. Everybody there? Hebrew. Let's speak it together. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Is God speaking from heaven? Everywhere, by his Spirit, everything. Everywhere you look. All these disasters, everything that's going on. Do you know, I think the other day I was talking about cattle being killed. 18,000 cattle were killed. They're trying to destroy, it was for milk. They destroyed 18,000 cattle. Sirloin. Chuck roast. T-bone. They all got cooked. 18,000 cattle would feed a lot of people, and plus milk a lot of people, amen? I mean, you'd have a lot of milk. But again, remember, the powers of darkness are trying to destroy everything. They're trying to turn every, they're doing, going to kill, destroy, and steal, and lie, and cheat as much as they can to the climax. But all of this is exposure. God is going to restore and return everything. Sometimes it's hard to accept that. It's hard to go through the suffering. Can you imagine the people that owned all that company and lost 18,000 cattle? Either they were paid off and let it happen, or they got an insurance check coming. But that's, you know, a lot of people are dependent on these things. Food. Hallelujah. That's why I feed the crows every day. I feed the squirrels, and the squirrels haven't been showing up lately because we removed the tree. I get more crows than I do anything else. But hallelujah, you know, they got to return to me in case things happen. I expect groceries at my front door flown by 40 crows. Hallelujah. Glory. Is everybody okay? Let's go. Now, verse 27. Where are we now, anyways? Let's start at 25 again. See that you do not refuse him who speaks from heaven, from who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This I say, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may what? Hello. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Shake to awake. Yep. And after awake, the call, purpose, and destiny. And you're called to what? Battle. Your purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And your destiny is to infiltrate the world system and establish the kingdom of Christ. And we're going to close at Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Boy, we're seeing that all over, aren't we? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So we must lose our life to take his life. Amen? It doesn't matter how you begin as long as you begin. But it sure matters how you end. Many people lose sight of that. They go back to what they used to do and this and that. I was this and I did. Forget it. How are you going to end? God ain't looking how you began. He's going to look and see how you end. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we pray for the awakening to increase to humanity. And especially those that your household is praying for. That their eyes would be opened, their ears would be opened, and our hearts would receive the truth, and that you'd grant them salvation and reconciliation, and that they may be a sign and wonder for your glory, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Praise God.